website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day as we face the issues. It's always our privilege to have you call in, set forth your position, ask your questions, joining in the discussion of the issue of the day. We're asking the question today, who will stand for us? Who will stand for us? You know, that's not the first time that question has been asked. In Psalms 94 and verse 16, the psalmist David asked the question, who will rise up for me against the evildoers, or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Ladies and gentlemen, that should be the thought process of every child of God. Every conservative, every Christian, every pastor, every patriot today, who's going to stand for us? Listen very carefully. I could summarize in just a very brief few moments of what is taking place that is a stand against us. We see the Socialist Marxist Communist Party, known as the Democrats, screaming and crying, hair on fire. Just because Doge, under the leadership of President Donald J. Trump, are now uncovering hundreds of billions of dollars worth of waste, trillions of dollars worth of fraud, misuse and abuse of authority and power and governmental agencies. You would think, ladies and gentlemen, that somehow, some way, the world's coming to an end when you hear some of the Democrats and their planned marches and demonstrations, much of it being paid for by George Soros, that wants to undermine and tear down and destroy America. But ladies and gentlemen, we all hear the mantra and the cry of anger and the frustration from the Marxist media and the Socialist Democratic Party that conservatives and Christians and patriots, somehow we're the ones, according to their dialogue and discussion, that's destroying our so-called democracy. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we have an entire Trump administration under the leadership of Trump with Doge uncovering waste, fraud, illegal activities, and abuse in every area of government. Yet the Democrats are all standing against any attempt of the president to uncover the bad actors and the bad actions. And that's bad enough if we're just talking about dollars and cents. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about morals, ethics, and values. We're talking about today that which is an affront, or should be an affront, to every Christian, every conservative, every church in America, regardless of the denominational dogma. There ought to be a move today to say, we're not going to tolerate it. We're not going to stand for it. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues and asking the question, who will stand for us? What is your position? Should Christians stand up and be heard? Should churches have the privilege, the right, the authority, biblically, morally, and ethically, to stand from any pulpit of any denomination and call out waste, fraud, deceit? Should be able to stand in the pulpit and call out immoral, ungodly, unholy, unethical actions on the part of government, on the part of any agency? Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but may I just be very frank? I am tired of, sick and tired of, seeing the silence from churches and pastors and Christians about the abuse that's taking place today under the guise of separation of church and state. The mindset that somehow, some way, Christians ought to be second-class citizens. Somehow, some way, there's a mindset out of Washington, the left in particular, the socialist Marxist media in general, that Christians ought to sit on the side and be silent and say nothing as the immoral, ungodly, unholy, unethical things take place. We'll talk about some of those things that's happening. We'll talk about what the church ought to do. We'll talk about today some historical background and roots of what churches and Christians in the past centuries have done in confronting the immoral, unholy, illegal, unbiblical actions of governmental affairs and offices. But ladies and gentlemen, may I say, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus then says in John 14:6, "I am truth." Then in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. The scripture says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to stand on. It should be priority in our lives and our living and what we do and what we say should be the truth of the word of God. Nothing more and nothing less. Ladies and gentlemen, in the text of the scripture, God gives us from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22 what he has done, what he is doing, and what he shall do. We need to look to the word of God as the truth book to give us instructions. In fact, in Psalms 117 and verse 2, the scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." And it's truth that we need to stand on. It is truth we need to stand for. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, "The further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we see that to be factual today. You find in Washington, the Democrats are already now strategizing, standing against President Trump and his speech tomorrow evening before the House and the Senate. They're already saying they're just not going to go there, just to show that they are against his position. They're up in arms now. That is the Marxist media, the socialist Communist Party known as the Democrats, up in arms at this very moment because Trump is standing firm with the president of Ukraine. We all know, if you're a conservative and a patriot, we all know that Ukraine has been a money laundering machine for many, many, many years now. And because that's been uncovered and Trump standing his ground, as he should, if we're going to offer any assistance in the further days for Ukraine. But yet the Democrats are all upset that Trump is causing the problem. Trump wants to be embracing Vladimir Putin, and as a result of that, he's not interested in stopping the war in Ukraine. Ladies and gentlemen, it goes back to truth. We need to stand for truth and the realization and the recognition that truth is a fountainhead out of the Word of God. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, this is what DeMint said. "Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity." Now, you want me to take that apart and kind of lay it out as to what DeMint said and how it's applied? We have the Word of God. We have the truth book as Christians and conservatives today. And yet multitudes are simply silent, saying nothing, with the mindset and the attitude that we are to be second-class citizens. Because that's what the Democrats are saying. That's what the Marxist media is saying. That's what the liberals on the left are saying. That you need to, as a church and as Christians, we need to just be silent. well, not to have a voice in God. Listen, there's a mindset today that permeates society, and it has permeated churches and pastors and pulpits in America, that says that the Christian has no voice. Hear me. They're saying by action, by word and deed, that Christians have no voice in the political process. That is simply antithetical to what you find in the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, and then we have multitudes, an entire group in society today of Americans. 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say that there is no such thing as absolute truth. Their mantra is that each person determines his or her own version of truth. There's not but one version of truth. A half-truth is a whole lie, and yet multitudes think that a half-truth is all right. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. How do we defend the truth? If something is true, we as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, as pastors, as churches ought to stand for truth. Of all people in all of society, it falls back on the church and believers to stand for truth. Listen, you go back as far as you want to in church history, and it was the founding fathers, the Christian founding fathers, that stood for truth. They stood against the evil and the tyrannical moves of kings and of local governors and mayors, etc., down through the centuries. Until recent years, it's been the mindset that the Christian, the church, ought to be the salt of the world, earth, and the light of the world. We need to be salt and light. And ladies and gentlemen, we're finding today, salt has lost its savor, light has lost its luminaries, and therefore we have darkness and decay in society. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, the good news is Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's an identifier, a benchmark. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, it's amazing to me what we see taking place, and yet the Democrats are all with the hair on fire. I'm looking at a headline, confirmed. DOGE, that's Department of Government Excellence, fines $2.7 trillion in Medicare and Medicaid fraud. The House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt said that the $2.7 trillion in Medicare and Medicaid fraud that already has been uncovered by President Donald Trump's Department of Government Efficiency is just part of the very long list of fraud, waste, and abuse that DOGE is identifying on a daily basis. Ladies and gentlemen, you would think that even the Democrats would embrace that. You would think that the Democrats would be delighted that we're taking care of fraud and abuse and waste. But no, 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 no. Listen very carefully. Every Democrat is standing firmly against the uncovering of fraud and abuse and waste. They have planned rallies. They have planned with prepared, pre-printed signs to rally against it. In fact, they have turned the fraud and abuse that's been found in Medicare and Medicaid, they've turned it around. And they're saying that President Trump's planning on cutting, slashing Medicare and Medicaid, that's designed to cause those in our age group, what you call the elderly, to cause a fear and concern that will cause a certain age group in America to remonstrate against what Trump is doing and what Doge is finding. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a lie. But they're taking a truthful event and they're twisting it to cause others to believe somehow, some way, that we're about to lose the Medicare and Medicaid benefits in America. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say a couple of other words briefly, and then we'll open our telephone lines. And by the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. And the real question today is, who will stand for us? Listen, if the church, if the pastors, if Christians and patriots will not stand up, we've lost the battle. We've lost the battle. I believe that Christians today need to stand, regardless of what the left wing and liberals say, regardless of what the Marxist and the Communist Party says. I believe that Christians ought to stand, yet perhaps I'm talking and you're saying, well, you know, preacher, there's a wall of separation of church and state. It's in the Constitution. I want you to pull your Constitution out. Search it very carefully. Give me a call on the broadcast today and tell me where it's found in the Constitution. Tell me what section, what subsection, what part you find it in the Constitution where there's the wall of separation of church and state. Tell me where in the Constitution do you find it that a pastor, when he steps in the pulpit, surrenders his freedom of speech and religious liberties. Tell me where you find in the Constitution where a Christian, a church, when he has said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, then you fling your constitutional rights to the wind. Oh, listen, the contrary of that, if you please, the contrast, simply means if you're not a Christian, if you're lost, if you're loose like lost liberal, you have all kinds of freedom of speech. You can say what if you want to, do what if you want to, and it's okay. But oh, once you cross that line, oh, once you say yes to Jesus, oh, once you are a Christian, once you are a pastor, then all of that, all of your freedom of speech and your religious liberties are all of a sudden foreclosed against you. That is what you must believe if you embrace what the socialist Marxist media and the Communist Party called the Democrats are telling us today. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. We are standing alone unless we as Christians and conservatives stand together. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to stand against the attempts to undermine and tear down and destroy what President Trump is attempting to do. We, ladies and gentlemen, believe that many of the federal payroll on the federal payroll today are not actual workers. And Doge, D-O-G-E, now finding evidence of some of those on Social Security that are 150 years old, up to 250 years old. I would just say, wow, that's up in age pretty firmly. And there are thousands, according to their findings, that's in the age group of 150, 200, 250 years of age. They're still drawing Social Security checks. That's waste, fraud, and abuse. And I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go bankrupt as a nation if something is not done. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, there's an attempt by the Marxist media, the socialists on the left, to stop this process. And in doing so, there's an intensification of saying that churches and pastors ought not to say anything. For example, if you're a church and you put a sign out questioning the legitimacy of the Democratic Party and their stand for morals, ethics, and values, then you've just absolutely committed a major heinous crime. If you ask the question about the Socialist Marxist Communist Party, known as Democrats, and how they stand about morals and ethics and values, all of a sudden you're outside of the camp of what you're able to say freely without being abused by the media and others that you ought not to say those things. That's what we're talking about today. 904-831-0917. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Look here, I'm going to tell you, I was so proud of my president. When Ukraine, he's not a president, he's a dictator. When he told him, he do not have the cards. We got the cards. You better listen to what we say. And on top of that, when the EU backed him up, not Trump, but the dictator backed him up. I'm like, are they going crazy? Is there something wrong with this? And you know what? I cannot wait for Elon Musk to go into Fort Knox and check out what's really going on. Because he has been doing it. His staff has been doing it. And I thank God for it. And hopefully we can have four more years of reprieve.
Amen. Well, Kenneth, one of the things you touched on, let's go back just a moment. We're talking about our fair-haired boy called Zelensky, that's the head of Ukraine, that sits there with his arms crossed in the Oval Office and openly challenges President Trump and Vice President Vance. And then in fact, the media, I don't know if you've noticed or not, the socialist Marxist media saying that Zelensky left the Oval Office. No, he didn't. He got kicked out of the Oval Office. President Trump basically President Trump said, if you put it in the Youngblood vernacular, pack your bags, get your body out of this building, and don't let the door hit you in the back as you go out. Get out of the White House. Get out of the Oval Office. And he, in fact, it was J.D. Vance that challenged to Zelensky that he said, you're an affront to us. You're challenging us in our stand. And very frankly, now that Zelensky has had time to sleep on it, now that the European Union has basically warned him of the bad deed that he had done, now all of a sudden he says, I think I want to go back to the Oval Office. I think I want to sign that document that's going to surrender the mineral rights to America for the $330 billion that they've already pulled out of the taxpayers' pockets in America and shipped to the money laundering machine called Ukraine. When Zelensky himself said 2 weeks ago that he didn't know where the money had gone. That, for example, they were talking about then only $270 billion was the number, and he said that he did not know where the $170 billion went. That they'd received about $100 billion. Right. And it's actually about $330 billion that's gone over there in equipment and material and cash money out of taxpayers' pockets. And yet there's a feeling by the Marxist media and the socialist communist left called the Democrats that we should keep on taking care of the tab for whatever Zelensky wants to do, never mind the fact that he's bought several major expensive homes in France and other places in the world. He's getting his parachute ready to get out, and at the same time trying to challenge Trump and Vance, trying to challenge America. And basically we have the left on the Marxist media that's saying that, that was a bad way to treat Zelensky. He ought not have been treated that way. He had to get up and walk out of the Oval Office. So I'm with you. I'm interested in seeing what Doge is going to discover and uncover later. But the one thing that I'm thinking about, as we see, Kenneth, as we see these things taking place.
Yes, sir.
As we see some conservatives voicing opposition, who is standing for us? We the people that's footing the bill. Who's standing for us? Who's standing for truth, morals, ethics, and righteousness and values in America? Who's standing? God has placed the church, the Christian, in the position of being the one that should stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, and not be silent. So, Kenneth, I am a little bit uptight when I think about where we are in America, where we are with morals, ethics, and values, and with the immoral, ungodly, unholy acts on the left, and yet we have so few that's standing. Now, Pastor Jack Hibbs in California is doing a good job of standing. We have a few of high-profile voices of Christians that are taking a stand on some of the issues. But where are the voices? Where's the one that, according to Ezekiel 33, verses 1 through 10, that's supposed to be the watchman on the wall, warning, danger ahead, that's standing up? We find very little of that. And, Kenneth, I think it's because most Christians have believed the devil's lie that Christians ought to be second-class citizens. There's the devil's lie that says that if you're saved, if you're Christian, that's right. Now the left is calling us Christian nationalists, that like there's something wrong. Yeah. Christian nationalists, meaning you're a Christian and you stand for the nation. And there's a demeaning factor about that somehow, some way, the left thinks that we need to shut up, sit down, be silent, and say nothing. What are your thoughts?
Yes, same thing. And Dr. Youngblood, I just want to ask you this one question. George Soros, I think he's a Jew, right?
He's a Jewish person, yes.
Yes,
and he made his, I understand it.
Okay, but he made his billions of dollars right here in America, and you're trying to destroy what you've gotten. Can I say it like that?
Well, one of the things that we see taking place with George Soros, he prides himself in being able to go in and collapse a nation's economy and picking up the crumbs at fire sales and then controlling it.
Right.
George Soros has 200, last count that I found, 209 corporate entities with fake phony names that will allow George Soros' organizations to milk the taxpayers' money. This is the reason out of USAID monies, George Soros' organizations were getting the lion's share of those dollars that were going out. And George Soros' design is to overthrow America, to destroy the American economy, and he would pick it up with pennies on the dollar. That's his approach that is always used. And that the socialist Marxist media and the Democratic Party are all up in an uproar now because somehow, some way, all of these fraudulent things have been uncovered. I pray that God continues to give President Trump the strength, the wisdom, the protection to do a job that he was elected to do. And God placed him there for that purpose. So, Kenneth, one of the things that I want our listeners to understand today, that as Christians, we are not second-class citizens. As Christians, we're not to go to the back of the bus. As Christians, we're not to sit down in silence. As Christians, as conservatives, as pastors, as churches, God holds us responsible to stand and speak for the nation. So keep looking up. Yes.
Dr. Youngblood, I just want to say this. You say second class. It's trying to make us third class citizens.
That's right. That's right. Anything but first class. Anything but having the right to stand and speak. You find those preachers that will stand and speak on a loud basis, on a national platform, as Pastor Jack Hibbs out of California, and I'll read in a moment some of the things that's been said about him from the socialist Marxist media and those in leadership roles in the Democratic Party, totally against any Christian voice speaking and taking a stand in today's society. But, Kenneth, thank you so much, brother, for your call. God bless you and keep looking up.
Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, when we look at what our founding fathers said, our founding fathers in government, I'm looking at headlines that America's founding fathers on morality in government. John Adams said, it is religion and morality alone which can establish the principles upon which freedom can securely stand. The only foundation of a free constitution is pure virtue. And then John Adams also said, if thou shalt not covet and thou shalt not steal were not commandments of heaven, they must be made inviolable precepts in every society, but it can be civilized, but before it can be civilized or made free, end quote. And we'll look at other statements from that in just a moment after we take our top of the hour news break. But ladies and gentlemen, as we continue our conversation today, we're talking about who will stand up for us. What are your thoughts? Should pastors in the pulpit tell you anything about elections, tell you anything about candidates, tell you anything about a candidate that is immoral, ungodly, and unholy? Should a pastor be able to stand in the pulpit and identify those that are standing against the morals, ethics, and values and persuade us from the pulpit to do what is honoring to God? I believe that is the case. I believe that's the case in history past. I believe that is the case when you look at church history and our church history founding fathers as to where they stood and what they did. And we're going to talk about that in the last half of this broadcast. We're going to talk about how we need to stand as Christians, conservatives, and patriots without fear and without faltering. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ Orange.